It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the happy hour, everybody. I'm Scravy. Tony Gwynn Jr. still with me. Chris Ella going to call the Aztecs women's basketball game tonight. Last game of the year, their senior night as well, so we'll find out all about that tomorrow. The Twizzlers and Red Vine debate, Tony, is getting a little crazy right now in the chat. We were just talking about snacks, and National Snack Day was yesterday.
Twizzlers greater than Red Vines.
Let me see what the chat is saying. I think they're Red Vines over Twizzlers. They are. Mm. And they're saying, M. McKee 23 says, cough syrup flavored rubber rope equals Twizzler, which I can totally.
See, that's how I feel about Red Vines.
Red Vines are the ones that are like more licorice-y, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of that.
No, I'm not a big fan of that either. One of my friends is a big black licorice guy, and his wife has.
Oh, my God. That is possibly the worst candy in the history of candy.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, my gosh. I think you're kind of deranged if you eat black licorice. I'm just saying.
I kind of agree with you because black licorice is pretty disgusting.
Absolutely.
So this list, all of the, like, South is Doritos as their favorite snack. It's like every single state in the South is Doritos. Rice Krispie Treats has to be the, I guess, comfort food for the winter because it's in all of the cold places.
It's all the Midwest cities.
Yeah, except for I missed two Cheetos locations. Nebraska and Illinois, also Cheetos, people. Fritos is Oklahoma, South Dakota.
I'm telling you, Flamin' Hot is carrying
Wyoming.
All of those.
See,
I would bet Flamin' Hot is carrying all of those.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
Work on that.
I see more Flamin' Hot than anything.
Doritos would have been my next choice, actually. I love Doritos. Can't go wrong with
just like regular
cool ranch, nacho cheese, salsa verde. Those are my three favorite.
Oh, in high school, I used to get the ones that were like the really, really, really spicy ones. Those were great. Chex Mix, though, Montana and North Dakota. I'm sorry, people.
It seems like a Chex Mix state right there. Those two.
It does.
The country,
definitely.
You know, like eating, you know, more things that seem like, you know, country comforts.
I actually have to add Hawaii. We started the show with Hawaii. They're Chex Mix people as well. And New Jersey, Cheerios people.
I think Chex Mix is like you're in tune with nature almost. I know Chex Mix isn't like, I don't know why I think that, but that jives with me.
I can understand that. You're just walking around in a field and you have Chex Mix.
Right,
just like
that's exactly how I imagined it.
You can't be eating Twizzlers in a field.
Nah, not in a high grassy field. You can't do that.
So Emma Key, Diesel said you're a serial killer if you like black licorice.
I'm telling you, serial killer works too. Deranged serial killer. You're in that category if you eat black licorice and like enjoy it.
Yeah, it's gross. I've tried it before to appease my friend, and I said, please never allow me to do this again because this is disgusting. All right, so we had a pretty good Padres game earlier today, Tony. Padres, they lost, but they still were performing well. And as you guys talked about earlier, this so far spring training, a lot of the guys that are competing for a team are playing really well down the stretch and making this a really difficult decision on AJ Preller and company.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys playing well. Pauly, Grant Pauly's playing well. We mentioned it last segment. Mason McCoy playing really well. Jose Azokar playing well.
Wade.
Jackson Merrill playing well. Tyler Wade playing well. Sullivan swinging a bat well. Again, none of this means that they're going to all have like breakout seasons and we'll be talking about them in a different way next year after the season's over. But for the sake of this competition, this is a much better option than everybody like stinking up the joint. You're like having to pick from the worst of the evils. You know what I'm saying? So this is how you want the competition to go.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm pretty much done.
Here's what some of the Padres did today at the plate. Azokar, 2-for-4. Pauly, 2-for-3. Wade, 2-for-3, 2 RBIs. Rosario, 1-for-3. Sullivan, 2-for-3 with a double and an RBI. So this is good stuff. It makes me feel a little bit better because yesterday Chris came on the show and he was like, I'm a little worried about some of these ancillary players on the outside. And
yeah,
I think a lot of people are a little worried, but this makes me feel a little bit better for sure. Even though spring training does not matter in any way.
I think it's reasonable to feel like that when, you know, you've been, I don't want to say we're spoiled, but we kind of gotten used to like getting what we needed via free agency or trade, right?
Yeah.
Padres don't seem to be in that spot or not willing to be in that spot this year in terms of spending. And so this is what it normally would look like. You're not often being able to go out and sign, you know, the best, one of the better, you know, the best free agents you can get for the spots that you're missing, right? It just doesn't always work that way. So this is what the Padres have. And the competition is not just in the position players. It's competition in the pitching side, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some reliever spots that I think are going to be available. One of these four guys pitching for three spots will likely be a long man, however you want to phrase that.
Swing man.
Whatever word you want to use. One of those guys is going to be that, too. So
Mike Schill actually talked about that this morning. They asked him about whether or not one of the four vying for three spots could end up in the bullpen, and here's what he said to reporters.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an opportunity for a swing man, long man, however you want to define it. Somebody that can, something doesn't go well early in a game, we can absorb innings. Also a bridge person that could grab two or three innings to get to the back end of the bullpen. So I think it's a strong possibility that's the way the bullpen composition would look like, having that piece involved with that.
I imagine it's also helpful that among that group that you have a lot of guys that have done that before.
It's very helpful, yes. And knowing that the likelihood of somebody going in that role is just that likely, and that there's people that have done it is also provides confidence in me with our staff.
Might that look different at the start? You have the 2 games, 8 days off, 2 games, in terms of you could have a different composition in your bullpen because a starter might be able to be a long man early?
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a very unique, somewhat playoff situation, but also slash earlier participation with our pitchers in the season, regular season game. So the situation's a little more unique, and it does provide some wonderful opportunities to be creative with how we use our pitching.
When do you think you might tell us who the opening day starter is, as if it hasn't already lined up?
Let's see. 20th? I'm not sure. We'll get to you sooner rather than later, Ace. I promise you.
You know, I have learned that Mike Schill is a pretty funny guy.
He is. He enjoys. You know, I will say this, though. You can always tell, at least I can always tell when those morning scrums are starting to, you know, be a little annoying.
Repetitive?
Yeah. A couple days ago he came out there. He looked like he didn't really want to be out there that day. But he answered the questions. You didn't get a joke like that, though. He was definitely like not in the joking mood. He was going to ask these questions, get about today. A little rejuvenated. Had a little jokey joke for us.
I mean, managers go through mood swings as well.
I didn't actually go to the field today because we weren't doing the broadcast.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that he was going to use the exact same words I used there about however you want to phrase long man or swing man.
Well, that just proves that you and Mike Schill are on the same wavelength.
Same page, man. We think alike.
All times. We, yeah. All right. Robert Suarez, he has had a tough so far spring training, but he's presumably the closer. And Mike Schill was asked about Robert Suarez, and he says one word here that Tony mentioned earlier, and listen for it.
I'm going to steal your word, unflappable. That's a good one. I think it captures as well as anything with him. He is a guy that clearly has the stuff to pitch to the back end of games. I love his heartbeat for it. You know, relative to heartbeat, that just because you have a slow heartbeat doesn't mean that's what it takes. But he's not going to make it bigger than it is. And so that's important. And the unflappable part's important. And he's got the weapons to go with it. So all those things really are a nice elixir to be able to go towards it back into the game and close it down.
I think we talked about this earlier in the spring, but kind of his willingness to get that fourth outer, and if the matchups are there in the eighth inning to do that, how much could that help you as a manager in terms of what he can do?
Oh, that's huge. If you know, you've got, and I'm not saying we're there yet, but I feel like we have a really strong chance to be there, and there being, you know, grab the last out in the eighth and then finish up the ninth. Or in certain days, certain matchups, as other players evolve and pitch well, based on situation for the eighth and ninth being somewhat interchangeable. So that's, I feel like that's going to be a strength of our club and the bullpen, having multiple pieces that can do multiple things.
Well, unflappable is a good word.
Yeah, I actually heard that soundbite, so
oh,
I can't
okay. take you can't claim on like that
I,
one.
Right. Yeah, no, that one, I definitely knew what I was doing on that one. Here's the thing. He doesn't seem to like have a change in his demeanor or mannerisms when moments are big or little. But as I think Mike hit on, like, it doesn't mean anything necessarily. Like, I still think for personally, Robert's got, you know, he got to prove that he can be that closer for a full season. I mean, we know he can do it from August on, but can he do it from beginning to end? It's a much different job, and I don't know that anybody knows that yet. And so I would say the fact that Matsui started throwing again, that's a good thing, because I would want both guys healthy by the time the season started, so you can figure out who's where as quick as possible. But certainly having him healthy so far, so good, hasn't had any issues. Get him to the regular season. That's the name of the game. So he hasn't had a full season yet. He's been hurt both of the first 2 years and the beginning of the season for the Padres.
Now, I definitely don't think it was a dig at Josh Hader, but having a guy who is able to pitch four outs or who is willing to pitch four outs or do whatever it takes, that's huge. Can you imagine how many times Bo Mel probably wanted to go to the bullpen and just couldn't?
It definitely wasn't a dig because it was a question asked to him. He didn't go out
his way.
He was asked specifically about that.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I think, you know, obviously having that flexibility makes, you know, it easier on a manager. It not have to be a pitcher-perfect spot to come in certainly makes it easy. But, you know, the wild card is, yes, we don't know about Suarez, but we know more about him than we know about the other guys who could possibly have that spot. Matsui, great in Japan. We don't actually know yet, though. He looked good in his one outing. He looked like he was untouchable in the one outing. But we don't know. We'll
but
see
it's
what happens.
Training, so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes to the regular season, how he performs.
We have a very good question in the chat that needs to be asked to Mike Schiltz. Tony, maybe you could do that. I'm going to throw it up right now from Tim. I need to know Schiltz's view on black licorice. You have no idea what's going on in the chat with this licorice conversation.
Are there a bunch of serial killers in there right now?
No. They're just like, if you like black licorice, get out of the chat right now. We don't even want to know you. Black licorice tastes like bleep.
Facts.
So all of that. Maybe you could find that out for us. Do you think, is he, you know how Bo Mel was like a gum guy and he was kind of like those root beer barrels or whatever?
I don't know that Schilt has the superstitions that, but Bo Mel was super superstitious.
Yeah.
Super.
Like, he gum was all the
prototypical
time.
Baseball guy. Like, I'm chewing green gum during this time. I'm chewing orange or yellow gum during this time. Yeah, for sure.
I do kind of love that, though, because this just gives you a little insight into those people. Because I'm not really that superstitious, I guess. Not too superstitious. But if something works for me, I'm going to use it next time.
Yeah, I'm not superstitious. I try to be the opposite of that, which then actually becomes
a superstition. That is true.
Right. Yeah, so but there's that.
Man, breaking down superstitions, 97.3 The Fan during spring training. Great stuff. When we get back, Chris and Tony sat down before the show, and they talked about the Lakers. They talked about the NBA. So that's what we'll have when we get back. But first, you have your traffic report on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Rolling along here in the happy hour, headed towards 6 o'clock and another edition of the Scraby Chronicles. But before we get to that, Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan, chronicling the Lakers. And a very impressive victory last night, Tony Gwynn Jr., over the then number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder. They have now dropped to number two because the Lakers handled them with ease last night at Staples Center. And I thought, as I was watching this unfold last night, I wonder what Charles Barkley is thinking now.
Mr. Barkley,
we love Barkley on this show. Look, I mean, he's absolutely our all-time favorite. But we kind of disagree with his notion that we shouldn't be paying attention to the Lakers because they're so low in the standings. Oklahoma City maybe didn't pay close enough attention themselves last night, Tony.
No, and that's, you know, not the first time the Lakers have smacked OKC. They've done it on their court as well. And so that's the thing about a team like the Lakers. They very well, again, Charles's point in a vacuum makes sense. But, you know, we know what the NBA is made of. A. B, as you made the point yesterday, we saw an 8 seed, and I believe Lakers were 7 seed last year.
Right.
Go all the way to the conference finals, and in the Heat's case, make it all the way to the finals after upsetting the number 1 seed.
That's right.
In a vacuum, yes, but we just have seen these kind of circumstances play out in a way that doesn't support the argument that Charles was making, in particular on the Lakers. They have, they're running through like the toughest part of their schedule here, over the last, I'd say the previous 3 games. They had OKC, they had Denver, and they had the Clippers.
And
they had Golden State as well.
Yeah.
Now, I believe their next matchup is a tough one too. I can't remember exactly who it is, but it's another, you know, high up, the conference type of deal. And, you know, I think the Lakers are actually starting to play some good basketball. We'll see if they can continue to keep, you know, being consistent. Because, you know, when you're a 10th seed right now in the play-in, you don't have a whole lot of margin for a loss here, a loss there. There's like 20-something games left in this season. You got to go on one of those same type of runs you went on last year to put yourself in at least. And much like last year, I believe the up to like the 5th seed, it's like 2.5 games that separate everybody. So you're going to be playing some tough matchups, but you're going to have to be consistent down the stretch in order to make some ground up.
Couple of things on the Lakers. I mean, you're right. They're sitting in the 10 spot right now, or 9, I think. They're close to then Golden State. Keep swapping.
Yeah.
But the Lakers do have room below them. They're not going to fall out of the 10 spot. They're 4 or 5 games clear of, I think it's Utah or whoever it is that's below
the
them.
The other teams that aren't trying.
Yeah, they're going to get in the playoffs. But the play-in tournament, don't forget how this works. If you are the 9 or the 10 seed, you have to win 2 games to advance into the NBA playoffs. Right. Whereas if you're the 7 or the 8 seed, you get 2 chances to win 1 game. So that's highly beneficial for the Lakers or Golden State or whoever to try to get up into that 7-8 spot. Because even though Miami and the Lakers both made runs from the play-in tournament last year, neither of them were the 9 or the 10 and had to win 2 games just to get into the tournament. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Right now, the Lakers would have to beat Golden State and then win another game just to get into the playoffs. And I think that, you know, you don't want to risk that. The other thing is, this is my argument against Barkley also. If we go through the next NFL season, and let's say the Chiefs have a bunch of injuries, or, you know, maybe Mahomes gets hurt during the course of the regular season, and then the Chiefs sneak into the playoffs as a 6 or a 7 seed, but Mahomes is playing again, who's going to bet against him? To me, it's the same way as betting against LeBron James as a 10 seed. It's still LeBron James, and he has still proven that you're going to have to beat him, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, you bring up a great point about the Lakers in their run last year. They played like trash in that playing game. I think it was against Minnesota.
It was, and they barely pulled it out.
And they barely pulled it out.
Yeah.
But to your point, they then were able to get a couple of days off before the next game because the play-in still had to finish.
Right.
Their portion of the playoffs, or to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so again, if you know, you're tracking it, and as you said, their tendency, if they don't make the move into the 7 or 8 spot, they are certainly making it an even taller climb as they try to pursue, you know, getting deep into the playoffs.
I wanted to ask you, we're talking about the NBA for a minute here. What do you think about these Celtics? Now, they've won, I think, 11, 12 in a row. They beat Golden State by 50. They've won 3 games by 50 this year. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on this team. They're 8 games ahead of Milwaukee in the East. It's not even close. I mean, they're going to be the runaway number 1 seed. But, I mean, is this Boston team so good that it's them and everybody else? Because I still don't think so. I think they can be had in a playoff series.
Yeah. I think until they 100% prove that they are that team that's in the East that can, you know, do some damage, I don't know that anybody's going to trust what they see, right? Except for Celtics fans, obviously.
I mean, yeah, the Celtic fans think they have it.
Right. I mean, but we've seen them now. And, well, in the two seasons ago, they get to the finals. They lose to a team that was just certainly more experienced than they were, and it showed. They go to the next round, and if I'm not mistaken, they were up 3-0, if I'm not mistaken, right, against the Heat. And the Heat walked them down. Oh, no, Heat was up 3-0, and I think Celtics got that series close, and then he closed it out.
Yeah.
But that was a 1-8 seed. That's
I
not
know.
Something.
The Heat
I get
have
it, Jimmy.
Really. The Heat have had the Celtics number, and
yeah.
that's the thing that Jimmy Butler
right.
is like not even a barely an all-star player during the regular season, but he is a totally different player once they get into the postseason. And Miami definitely is a threat, no matter where they are.
Yeah, and they've proven that. And as long as they're in the thick of it. That you're going to have to account for. Now, the Celtics can hope that they have the paths don't cross, but crossing to the conference finals last year, it didn't seem to matter, did it?
So, no.
I
yeah.
think ultimately, I won't trust them until they show me that they are you know, serious about, you know, being a champion. And as good as Tatum are, Jaylen Brown is.
Now they have Porzingis in the mix, but what has Porzingis ever done in the playoffs?
He's done anything I can remember. So,
no.
You know, I got to see it. I got to see it to believe it. It's not that I don't think they're talented enough. I just need to see it before
yeah.
I can.
And I know the answer to this
that.
Question, but on the West side, what team scares you the most if you're the
Denver.
Lakers? Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah,
Denver is still the team, no matter where they finish. Somebody's going to have to knock Jokic off, and that is a tall order.
They're the kryptonite to the Lakers. They really are. Like, the Lakers, the last three games, you can go back to the playoffs, they have played them so well for 46 minutes. And in the last 2 minutes of, like, all of these games.
Yeah, they lost them all, right?
Right. The league has no answer for Jokic, but the Lakers have no answer for Murray. Like, zero. They haven't come up with it yet, at least. And he's been unstoppable down the stretch.
Maybe somebody else will beat Denver to help the Lakers out.
That's the hope.
that's the hope.
Got to be the hope.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, RJ Anderson was our guest a little earlier today, talking baseball, talking Jackson Merrill, where he fits, does he fit with the Padres. More Gwynn and Chris on the way.
6:37 in the desert, 5:37 all the way out in beautiful San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matthew Scraby, Mr. Ello has departed, so you get us this last segment. Trip to Korea is like right around the corner.
I'm so jealous.
I don't have an itinerary. We don't even know how the whole, like, how my participation in the show is going to be.
No.
The time slots. We're going to have to figure this out on the fly is my guess.
I told Chris,
you know,
Just be flexible.
Yeah. You have to be very flexible. I'm not going to lie. I'm very concerned about coming back.
Really? What do you mean?
Because there's just so much stuff happening when we come back, right? You're going to be trying to catch up on whatever time difference that you're going to have on the way back.
Yeah.
We have Peter's ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
2 days, I believe, after. I think that's followed by Fan Fest. I have some duties for Fan Fest.
Yes. How are you doing with our invites to your roster?
I'm working on it.
Okay,
I am working
good.
On it.
All right, so.
Working on it. I can't guarantee anything.
Okay.
Can't guarantee
thank you for
anything.
At least
There's
working on
some
it.
Pretty heavy hitters involved in this. So
yes.
You got that right, and then opening day is like right beyond that. So,
and then you're launched into the season.
Yeah, and there's no turning back at that point. I am there.
That does sound problem.
So I'm more just concerned about that, because ultimately we end up getting to be home, I think, for like almost 2 weeks because of you're finishing up the exhibition season. I think we got two series at home to begin with. The Giants.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Giants, Cardinals, and then I think it's just a one-spot stop on the first road trip. I think it's San Francisco.
Giants, yeah. And then
Giants, and we come right back.
One home stand so with the Cubs, and then back on the road.
That's a good thing. You know, one for a while, so you have a chance to catch up as much as possible.
I have a feeling it's going to be way more difficult for you than it will be the players, because you have a lot of duties that you're going to have to like actually be awake for. They can sleep in, and if they need to catch up on sleep, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, well, they're well rested. So, you know, they find ways to get their rest. That's for sure.
Do you? So you don't know where you're staying in Korea or anything like that?
No. I mean, I know they're the hotel. I've seen that, but I don't know. Like, I know we leave the night after Wednesday or after the game. We leave after the game that night. The Dodgers, I heard, are leaving the following morning, so they'll get there, like, and be able. And so the trick I hear is you want to get there and like try to land your clock so that it lines up with theirs. So you prefer, probably, I'm assuming, to get there during the day so you can try to just stay up through the day.
Gotcha.
I think we're getting there at like, I think it's going to work out like 4 in the morning.
Mm.
So now we're trying to fight the long fight to stay up through the rest of the day. So, oof. You know. Exactly.
I remember one time I went to London and I've never been more tired in my life with the jet lag. Jet lag is a real problem. It really is.
Oh, for sure. You know, when I first found out jet lag was a real thing was traveling in AAA.
Because
you get those 2, 3 a.m. wake-up calls. And, you know, most of my time was spent in the PCL, like on closer to the East Coast. Like, I'm in the Pacific Coast League, but I'm playing in Nashville. So it was great when we were going from Nashville west, like if we were playing Vegas or we were playing Sacramento, because you're losing time. But on those flights back, like clockwork, we were on one of those flights where we would like be landing at like 5:30. We had a 7 o'clock game, so you're just going, get your bags, you go straight there.
Are you saying 5:30 p.m.?
P.M.
Oh, my
PM.
Goodness. Like, that is cutting
3 o'clock,
close.
3 a.m. No, it's cutting very close. There's many times we showed up like 45 minutes before the game start, and it's just show and go. And I just remember how terrible. Like, I wasn't hurting. You just felt like,
Yeah.
When you're out there trying to, you know, execute at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
But the thing that I always used to tell myself, well, everybody else is in the same boat. Well, maybe not the other team. They probably got there a little bit earlier, but all my teammates are in the same boat. So, you know, you just
deal with it.
Put it together and go out there, try to do what you can.
Yeah.
Those days you got one or got a hit, you like, okay, I'm good.
I'm pretty good.
Not 0 for 4 today. Let's go. All right. Let's get to our interview of the day.
That's what I told myself every day.
RJ Anderson joined us earlier to talk some Padres. Before we get to him, here's some traffic. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. RJ, it's been a minute. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We certainly caught the article that you had with Jackson Merrill and the three reasons why you thought he could possibly end up on this roster. He certainly has played well to this point. I mean, a lot of times you come into spring training, this is about competition. They want to see how you handle everything. I tell you what, for a young man that hasn't had any big league experience, he's done a pretty good job of kind of just taking it all in, and he's playing some pretty good baseball right now.
Yeah, you have to do some things right for Fernando Tatis Jr. to be calling for your spot on the opening day roster on a national broadcast. So, yeah, he's a very talented player. You know, he's been on the ascent in spring 2021, I believe it was. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere in the late stages of that draft cycle and turned himself into a first-round pick. And since then, you know, he showed why the Padres are so high on him. You know, really talented contact hitter from the left side, has full power, might end up having more power than we think if he can, you know, add a little loft to that swing. And he's a good athlete, as you've probably seen in the outfield. And, you know, there are a lot of scouts who believe he'd be an above-average shortstop. And maybe he will be in time. But, you know, for now, they're using him in the outfield. And, yeah, he's got a chance to be a pretty solid player over the long haul.
RJ, can guys that have played mostly no higher than Double A, I know Merrill stepped into Triple A for just a short bit, but Does history tell us that guys from Double A who haven't played above that can succeed in the big leagues right away? It seems to me that younger players, just in general, are contributing a whole lot more than they ever were asked to before, and a lot of them are coming through. I think of the kid in Texas as Evan Carter, comes up midseason, ends up starring in the World Series. I mean, can Merrill do it from Double A?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that skipping Triple A is something that's reserved for the best of the best young players. And I think that, you know, Tony can probably speak to this better than I can, but, you know, all the evaluators I talked to consider Double A to be the big challenge. And once you succeed at the Double A level, even if it's only for, a month and a half, 2 months, however long he was there last season, once you've done that, you know, that kind of incentivizes or at least encourages the team to maybe rush you to the majors and skip over Triple A. And we know from the Padres' recent history, sometimes that goes really well, like Fernando Tatis Jr. Sometimes it, you know, requires a little bit more patience, like C.J. Abrams. And, you know, obviously it took Abrams a few seasons to get it together, but now he's looking like a really good player himself in D.C. So I think Merrill has the skill set to make that jump. You know, we'll find out if it works out, but, you know, it's not as rare as it may seem skipping over AAA completely.
It's not. Double A is typically where most organizations send their best of the best prospects. You go to Triple A when there's the little nuances you got to learn about the game, it seems like, because you get a little bit more veteran laden rosters there. And it's not that, as RJ said, it's kind of reserved for the elite prospects to kind of skip that level to go to the big leagues. We'll see if that will be Jackson Merrill. RJ Anderson joins us here, CBS Sports. And RJ, obviously last year, from a national standpoint, there was a lot of conversation about the Padres, and rightfully so. You looked at the roster up and down, and it was hard not to talk about that team. But you fast forward to 2024, it's really only minus the two big stars in Blake Snell and Juan Soto. You still got Bogaerts. You still got Machado. You still got Tatis. You still got Darvish. You still got Musgrove. I mean, you still have some really talented players, yet you look at, you know, what most are saying is an 81.5 win season for the Padres. This team won 82 games that last year.
Right.
Can you see this team, I guess, if by those standards, overachieving this year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty with the back end of the rotation because, you know, these are not veteran names. They're not, you know, well-known names, so to speak. These weren't top prospects for the most part. But you take a guy like Michael King and, you know, if you told me that he could start 25 times for the Padres this year, all of a sudden that win total starts to creep up because I believe that he has the stuff and the command to be a really good starter. But, you know, player health is kind of the great unknown, right? And that's true of a few other cases of them. But I think, you know, if they nailed it with that Juan Soto trade on some of the arms they got back, and if, you know, they push along some of their internal arms, like, you know, Lesko, Snelling, you know, there are a few others, Thorpe, obviously. You know, if they push those arms along and that rotation is, you know, better than league average, then all of a sudden, yeah, we're talking about a Padres team that can threaten for at least a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to all of us, RJ, is the fact that the Padres ended up the regular season 2 games behind the Diamondbacks last year. But for the Diamondbacks, it ended up being one of the greatest seasons in franchise history. And for the Padres, it ended up being one of the worst. And, you know, they almost had the same record. So, you know, but let's go back to Jackson Merrill and what about him kind of stands out in terms of, you know, being able to take a corner outfield spot and be an everyday big leaguer. I mean, you know, I was saying the other day, I mean, you got to hit 30 home runs normally to be a corner outfielder in the big leagues and driving 100. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for a young guy.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs this season, to be clear. You know, this is a skill set where if he does develop power, you know, it's probably going to take a few years. And obviously, Petco is not exactly the easiest part to have left-handed power. So, you know, check those expectations if you're not familiar with his game. But, you know, I think this is the case where the Padres view him as one of their 26 best players. And it just so happens that the construction of their roster has them overflowing with infield talent and kind of lean on outfield talent. So how do you fit him into that equation? Well, going to move Kim, Bogaerts, and Machado to the outfield. You don't really want to put Merrill at first base. So, you know, pop him down in the outfield, let his athleticism make him at least an average to above average defender, depending on where he's playing, you know, left field or center field, and, you know, hope that he can hit for average, get on base, steal some bases, and, you know, just impact the game overall, even if he doesn't have that prototypical corner outfield offensive profile.
RJ, you know, obviously we're at least for the Padres, you're getting close to the end of spring training because they're headed to Korea, but there's still some, obviously, some spring left to go. I mean, for you, what is it that you're looking forward to as we start moving into, you know, closer and closer to the regular season at the end of this month?
Yeah, it's just always about health for me. You know, I don't read too much into spring training performances for the most part. Just stay healthy. You know, guys are working on different things. They're starting to shake off the rust and whatnot. You know, I guess I pay a little bit of attention to velocity just because, you know, if a guy's dropped a significant amount of velocity or has gained a significant amount of velocity, then sure, that's notable. And if they value the pitch, you want to see how that's progressing or if it's not progressing at all. But otherwise, it's really just about getting to opening day and being healthy.
Are we overshooting it in San Diego to hope that Fernando Tatis Jr. can compete for an MVP award this year? Or should we, I don't want to expect it because that's really not fair. But a lot of people we talk to around here are saying he is primed for that kind of a run.
Oh, I don't think you're overshooting it at all. I mean, he's got massive talent. I mean, he's coming off a pretty good year. It's just a matter of staying on the field, I think. And if he can do that, then sure. Why wouldn't he win a Cy Young Award? Why wouldn't he win an MVP award someday? Because he's that kind of talent.
You mentioned some of the arms the Padres got back. You know, Michael King was one of them. Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito. You got Thorpe in that deal. And we've got a chance to see all four of those guys throw the baseball, and they've thrown it well. I mean, obviously Michael King is probably the king piece in that deal. How do you think he transitions? I know he started towards the back end of that season, and you mentioned if the Padres can get 25 starts. I mean, what kind of stuff can you see this guy actually working into as if he's able to get 25 starts in a season?
Yeah, I mean, he was really strong to end last year at the Yankees, and, you know, he's got a really good fastball, a really good arsenal. He throws strikes. You know, he can locate within the zone, and, you know, basically your prototypical middle-of-the-rotation starter. It's just a matter of can he stay healthy. And unfortunately, he's had some arm issues in the past. That's why he was in the bullpen in the first place. He's a little older and further along in his service time than most people realize because, you know, he's had those injury issues that kind of kept him on the sidelines at times or limited his exposure. But if he can stay healthy, if you can get 20-plus starts from him, you're talking about someone who's probably going to be an above-average starter and above-average contributor.
RJ Anderson from CBS Sports, our guest, talking some good baseball here. And RJ, real quick, I'm going to leave the Dodgers out. I mean, we know what the expectations are for them based on all the money they spent. The two teams we're not as clear on are the Diamondbacks, who, you know, were in the World Series, but and also the Giants. I mean, to me, you know, those teams have similar over-under win totals as the Padres. What are your thoughts on Arizona, you know, being kind of a team that might have a little more of a target on their back? And, you know, the Giants added Chapman. Was that a big deal, and how good do you think they can be?
Yeah, so the Diamondbacks, I think you're right that they're probably benefiting from the playoff run last year, and, you know, fair enough. I thought they had a solid offseason. You know, they added Eduardo Rodriguez, who was somehow kind of underrated as a middle of the rotation cog, despite spending most of his career in Boston. You know, he's always been an above-average pitcher basically throughout his big league career. You know, Jock Peterson, Eugenio Suarez were good additions as well. They'll beef up that lineup a little bit. I think they're probably the second-best team of the NL West right now. With the Giants, you know, it's a little riskier, I would say, because Chapman, for as good as he's been, you know, the strikeouts are an issue. And when you look at some of his pitch-level data, I mean, he has significant issues up in the zone. And right now, this is a high fastball league, right? And whenever you have that combination of issues, you know, swing and miss, and specifically with, you know, high fastball swing and miss, you start to wonder, like, you know, what's this going to look like as he ages further into his 30s? And then, you know, they added Lee. I'll give him a shout-out, the center fielder from Korea. He has really strong secondary skills. You know, he can run. He's going to be a good defender. There are some concerns about how his bat is going to transfer, especially in the first year or two. And, I know, I just point to Kim here with the Padres. I mean, his first year offensively was really poor. He figured it out in years two and three, but, you know, there's a chance that there's a similar growing arc or whatever you want to say for for Lee. So we'll see. I kind of think San Francisco just has wider error bars than anyone else in this division. And, you know, if he told me they finished third, fair enough. If he told me that the Padres leapfrogged them, I'd buy that too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I have the same questions for Lee as well. I mean, because in the Padres' case, they had some guys that could kind of fill the gap there for Ha-Sung as he tried to work his way through. I don't know that the Giants aren't in that same boat. RJ, appreciate you coming on, man. We always enjoy having you on. Let's do it again here during the season.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good stuff, RJ.
No problem. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports. You heard it. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports. Breaking down how Jackson Merrill very well may end up on this roster. I think it's not a guarantee, but it's probably the closest of any of the guys battling for a spot.
He's earned it.
He's looked like he belongs.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this evening for Tony Gwynn Jr., for Matthew Scraby. You're going to get more of them on the Chronicles coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a good night. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. RJ, it's been a minute. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing well. We certainly caught the article that you had with Jackson Merrill and the three reasons why you thought he could possibly end up on this roster. He certainly has played well to this point. I mean, a lot of times you come into spring training, this is about competition. They want to see how you handle everything. I tell you what, for a young man that hasn't had any big league experience, he's done a pretty good job of kind of just taking it all in, and he's playing some pretty good baseball right now.
Yeah, you have to do some things right for Fernando Tatis Jr. to be calling for your spot on the opening day roster on a national broadcast. So, yeah, he's a very talented player. You know, he's been on the ascent in spring 2021, I believe it was. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere in the late stages of that draft cycle and turned himself into a first-round pick. And since then, you know, he showed why the Padres are so high on him. You know, really talented contact hitter from the left side, has full power. Might end up having more power than we think if he can, you know, add a little loft to that swing. And he's a good athlete, as you've probably seen in the outfield. And, you know, there are a lot of scouts who believe he'd be an above-average shortstop. And maybe he will be in time. But, you know, for now, they're using him in the outfield. And, yeah, he's got a chance to be a pretty solid player over the long haul.
RJ, can guys that have played mostly no higher than Double A, I know Merrill stepped into Triple A for just a short bit, but does history tell us that guys from Double A who haven't played above that can succeed in the big leagues right away? It seems to me that younger players, just in general, are contributing a whole lot more than they ever were asked to before, and a lot of them are coming through. I think of the kid in Texas as Evan Carter, you know, but comes up midseason, ends up starring in the World Series. I mean, can Merrill do it from Double A?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that skipping Triple A is something that's reserved for the best of the best young players. And I think that, you know, Tony can probably speak to this better than I can, but, you know, all the evaluators I talk to consider Double A to be the big challenge. And once you succeed at a Double A level, even if it's only for, a month and a half, 2 months, however long he was there last season, once you've done that, you know, that kind of incentivizes or at least encourages the team to maybe rush you to the majors and skip over Triple A. And we know from the Padres' recent history, sometimes that goes really well, like Fernando Tatis Jr. Sometimes it, you know, requires a little bit more patience, like C.J. Abrams. And, you know, obviously it took Abrams a few seasons to get it together, but now he's looking like a really good player himself in D.C. So I think Merrill has the skill set to make that jump. You know, we'll find out if it works out, but, you know, it's not as rare as it may seem skipping over Triple A completely.
It's not. Double A is typically where most organizations send their best of the best prospects. You go to Triple A when there's the little nuances you got to learn about the game, it seems like, because you get a little bit more veteran laden rosters there. And it's not that, as RJ said, it's kind of reserved for the the elite prospects to kind of skip that level to go to the big leagues. We'll see if that will be Jackson Merrill. RJ Anderson joins us here, CBS Sports. And RJ, obviously last year, from a national standpoint, there was a lot of conversation about the Padres, and rightfully so. You looked at the roster up and down, and it was hard not to talk about that team. But yeah, you fast forward to 2024, it's really only minus the two big stars in Blake Snell and Juan Soto. You still got Bogarts. You still got Machado. You still got Tatis. You still got Darvish. You still got Musgrove. I mean, you still have some really talented players, yet you look at, you know, what most are saying is an 81.5 win season for the Padres. This team won 82 games that last year.
Right.
Can you see this team, I guess, if by those standards, overachieving this year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty with the back end of the rotation because,
yeah,
you know, these are not veteran names. They're not, you know, well-known names, so to speak. These weren't top prospects for the most part. But you take a guy like Michael King and, you know, if you told me that he could start 25 times for the Padres this year, all of a sudden that win total starts to creep up because I believe that he has the stuff and the command to be a really good starter. But, you know, player health is kind of the great unknown, right? And that's true of a few other cases of them. But I think, you know, if they nailed it with that Juan Soto trade on some of the arms they got back, and if, you know, they push along some of their internal arms, like, you know, Lesko, Snelling, you know, there are a few others, Thorpe, obviously. You know, if they push those arms along and that rotation is, you know, better than league average, then all of a sudden, yeah, we're talking about a Padres team that can threaten for at least a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to all of us, RJ, is the fact that the Padres ended up the regular season two games behind the Diamondbacks last year. But for the Diamondbacks, it ended up being one of the greatest seasons in franchise history. And for the Padres, it ended up being one of the worst. And, you know, they almost had the same record. So, you know, but let's go back to Jackson Merrill and what about him kind of stands out in terms of, you know, being able to take a corner outfield spot and be an everyday big leaguer. I mean, you know, I was saying the other day, I mean, you got to hit 30 home runs normally to be a corner outfielder in the big leagues and driving 100. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for a young guy.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs this season, to be clear. You know, this is a skill set where if he does develop power, you know, it's probably going to take a few years. And obviously, Petco is not exactly the easiest part to have left-handed power. So, you know, check those expectations if you're not familiar with his game. But, you know, I think this is the case where the Padres view him as one of their 26 best players. And it just so happens that the construction of the roster has them overflowing with infield talent and kind of lean on outfield talent. So how do you fit him into that equation? Well, going to move Kim, Bogarts, and Machado to the outfield. You don't really want to put Merrill at first base. So, you know, plop him down in the outfield. Let his athleticism make him at least in an average to above average defender, depending on where he's playing, you know, left field or center field. And, you know, hope that he can hit for average, get on base, steal some bases, and, you know, just impact the game overall, even if he doesn't have that prototypical corner outfield offensive profile.
RJ, you know, obviously we're at least for the Padres, you're getting close to the end of spring training because they're headed to Korea, but there's still some, obviously, some spring left to go. I mean, for you, what is it that you're looking forward to as we start moving into, you know, closer and closer to the regular season at the end of this month?
Yeah, it's just always about health for me. You know, I don't read too much into spring training performances for the most part. Just stay healthy. You know, guys are working on different things. They're starting to shake off the rust and whatnot. You know, I guess I pay a little bit of attention to velocity just because, you know, if a guy has dropped a significant amount of velocity or has gained a significant amount of velocity, then sure, that's notable. And if they buy a new pitch, you want to see how that's progressing or if it's not progressing at all. But otherwise, it's really just about getting to opening day and being healthy.
Are we overshooting it in San Diego to hope that Fernando Tatis Jr. can compete for an MVP award this year? Or should we? I don't want to expect it because that's really not fair. But a lot of people we talk to around here are saying he is primed for that kind of a run.
Oh, I don't think you're overshooting it at all. I mean, he's got massive talent. I mean, he's coming off a pretty good year. It's just a matter of staying on the field, I think. And if he can do that, then sure. Why wouldn't he win a Cy Young Award? Why wouldn't he win an MVP award someday? Because he's that kind of talent.
You mentioned some of the arms the Padres got back. You know, Michael King was one of them. Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito. You got Thorpe in that deal. And we've got a chance to see all four of those guys throw the baseball, and they've thrown it well. I mean, obviously Michael King is probably the king piece in that deal. How do you think he transitions? I know he started towards the back end of that season, and you mentioned if the Padres can get 25 starts. I mean, what kind of stuff can you see this guy actually working into as if he's able to get 25 starts in the season?
Yeah, I mean, he was really strong to end last year at the Yankees. And, you know, he's got a really good fastball, a really good arsenal. He throws strikes. You know, he can locate within the zone. And, you know, he's basically your prototypical middle-of-the-rotation starter. It's just a matter of can he stay healthy. And unfortunately, he's had some arm issues in the past. That's why he was in the bullpen in the first place. He's a little older and further along in his service time than most people realize because, you know, he's had those injury issues that kind of kept him on the sidelines at times or limited his exposure. But if he can stay healthy, if you can get 20 plus starts from him, you're talking about someone who's probably going to be an above average starter and above average contributor.
RJ Anderson from CBS Sports, our guest, talking some good baseball here. And RJ, real quick, I'm going to leave the Dodgers out. I mean, we know what the expectations are for them based on all the money they spent. The two teams we're not as clear on are the Diamondbacks, who you know, were in the World Series, but and also the Giants. I mean, to me, you know, those teams have similar over-under win totals as the Padres. What are your thoughts on Arizona, you know, being kind of a team that might have a little more of a target on their back? And, you know, the Giants added Chapman. Was that a big deal, and how good do you think they can be?
Yeah, so the Diamondbacks, I think you're right that they're probably benefiting from the playoff run last year, and, you know, fair enough. I thought they had a solid offseason. You know, they added Eduardo Rodriguez. He was somehow kind of underrated as a middle of the rotation cog, despite spending most of his career in Boston. You know, he's always been above average pitcher basically throughout his big league career. You know, Jock Peterson, Eugenio Suarez were good additions as well. They'll beef up that lineup a little bit. I think they're probably the second best team in the NL West right now. With the Giants, you know, it's a little riskier, I would say, because Chapman, for as good as he's been, you know, the strikeouts are an issue. And when you look at some of his pitch level data, I mean, he has significant issues up in the zone. And right now, this is a high fastball league, right? And whenever you have that combination of issues, you know, swing and miss, and specifically with, you know, high fastball swing and miss, you start to wonder, like, you know, what's this going to look like as he ages further into his 30s? And then, you know, they added Lee. I'll give him a shout out, the center fielder from Korea. He has really strong secondary skills. You know, he can run. He's going to be a good defender. There are some concerns about how his bat is going to transfer, especially in the first year or two. And I know I just point to Kim here with the Padres. I mean, his first year offensively was really poor. He figured it out in years two and three, but, you know, there's a chance that there's a similar growing arc or whatever you want to say for Lee. So we'll see. I kind of think San Francisco just has wider error bars than anyone else in this division. And, you know, if he told me they finished third, fair enough. If he told me that the Padres leapfrogged them, I'd buy that too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I have the same questions for Lee as well. I mean, because in the Padres' case, they had some guys that could kind of fill the gap there for Ha-Sung as he tried to work his way through. I don't know that the Giants are in that same boat. RJ, appreciate you coming on, man. We always enjoy having you on. Let's do it again here during the season.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good stuff, RJ.
No problem. RJ Anderson, CBS Sports. You heard it.
RJ Anderson, CBS Sports.
Breaking down how Jackson Merrill very well may end up on this roster. I think it's not a guarantee, but it's probably the closest of any of the guys battling for a spot.
He's
earned. I mean, even if he wasn't, he's earned it.
True.
He's looked
true.
Like he belongs.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this evening for Tony Gwynn Jr., for Matthew Scraby. You're going to get more of them on the Chronicles coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.